Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, what do you own that you don't know how to use or how to work? And you ask people this, and of course, you know, most of us don't know how to do all the things on our cell phone. That was one of the number one answers, cell phone and computer.
A savings account.
You don't know how that works?
No, it's weird. It's like I put money in and then it just disappears. Yeah. I don't know what happens.
So your cell phone, you go through it. There's so many things and details. You get to go into settings, and before you know it, you're in the territory you don't need to be in. It's like the dark woods, you know. You're in those fairy tales and stuff. Like, I'm in a place I don't need to be right now. So, and also, you know, certain apps and stuff like that, because you got the video editing app, and you get in there, and you're like, I do not know how to work this, but I can at least, you know, take some of the wrinkles out. So that's something that... Now, Tom, I think you're more experienced in this area. You're probably a little bit better when it comes to technology.
Well, I mean, no one knows how to use everything in their phone, but you don't need to know everything. Right, you just need the parts you use.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not good at it at all. All right, what's something else that you have that you don't know how to use completely?
Vacuum.
The vacuum cleaner was not mentioned. That's pretty easy.
I know. Yeah. I just don't use it.
Your car was number two. There's
Holy
so many
crap.
Things. Because there's so many buttons and stuff. And you go, if you dig down, because you'll see the light come on. Like, well, what does that light mean? It's like, something's up here.
That genie in a bottle. I'm like, I'm rubbing the car. Yeah. Where's the genie? Yeah. Let's go.
They should put like a manual for how the car works in the glove box.
Well, they do have that. That's what I'm saying. But we don't know how to use it. You're not going to read that first and then work your automobile. It's like a problem comes along. Then you're like, okay, I got to figure this out. I don't know even how to use this.
Plus, it needs to be digital. I'm not flipping through all those papers. It's too much. That book is thick.
Honestly, how to adjust my seat. I've got three buttons to adjust my seat. It's like you can go up and go back and go, you know, it puffs up your back, or you got the, you know, and so, you know, then you're hunched back over too far.
Looking like a shrimp.
I can't even figure out my seats in my car.
You just get it set and you program it. So anytime somebody drives your car, you can just press.
I don't have a one or two program. Well, I probably do. I just don't know how to use it.
You got a newer car. I'm sure you got a programmable seat.
I probably do. But someone borrowed my car the other day and didn't sit it back right. And I was upset about that. They say kitchen appliances. We don't know how to use all the stuff on the kitchen appliances.
I think men just say they don't know how to use the dishwasher. I think that's a lie.
It's very confusing.
Okay, but you got coffee makers, and I know it's easy enough to put the little Keurig thing in and then make your cup of coffee, but there's all three or four other buttons. You don't even know what's going on there.
I'll tell you what I had an issue with is we were at the beach. We rented a house for a week, and it had those fancy washer and dryer stacked.
Yeah.
They were all digital, programmed.
Yeah.
I had to get help.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm used to turning a button and pressing start. Yeah, but yeah, I had to get the friends of mine in the house that had already washed clothes. I'm like, you got to come turn on this washing machine.
And why do they all sing to you now?
Yeah.
It's like a little lullaby.
I like it, though. It's kind of soothing, but it's got the delicate wash. You got the hard wash. You got the soft wash.
It's all
you got
normal.
The speed wash.
All
you got
normal.
The slow wash. I mean, normal is the only button I know on that.
That's why I'd never buy that. I just give me a regular, like I said, just a regular dial. You turn and press start.
Even the microwave, all the buttons on the microwave.
Yeah,
you know what? I know the popcorn button. I know that you have to double punch to get the 1 minute time on my microwave. But the other six buttons, I don't know what there's a defrost or something on it.
I feel like I wandered into the slow kids class.
Yeah.
Well, get in here slowly.
Well, why don't you go ahead and leave?
Don't rush.
I would if I could. I can't get a hall pass.
But you honestly, you don't have trouble with anything at your house?
I don't think, not to the degree you're describing here. I mean, I don't know what every button on the microwave does because I don't need them. But if I did need to defrost something, I would grab the manual and see how do I defrost it.
I'm not taking judgment from you because you don't even know how to send a DM. How many times have you gotten mad at me because you're like, where's the direct message button on Instagram? And I'm like, it's the little airplane.
Can't find the mail on the
message.
They don't have a manual for Instagram.
And he'll be like, it's an email. I'm like, no, it's a message on Facebook. And he's like, well, I'm looking at my email. I'm like, but that's a totally different app.
I don't do that. Now you're exaggerating and making crap up.
You have literally done that.
I know the
difference
between apps. I've never done that.
Okay.
I need to leave the slow kids class because they're so slow. They're accusing me of things I haven't done.
Well, we want you to be on the same level as us.
I don't want to. It's tiring. Right.
What do you own that you don't know how to use? Also mentioned was, and this is kind of interesting, but people say piano or guitar or musical instruments. They have them in their house, but they don't know how to play them.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, like, you get a piano, you think you're going to learn it.
Right.
Or you get a guitar, you think you're going to learn it, and you never do.
And now, I had a friend that actually was moving, I think, and wanted to get rid of a piano and couldn't sell it. They were like, it's a free piano. Anybody just come get it.
Wow.
And I'm like, I really would like, because I took piano lessons when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I can still play chopsticks.
Okay. But, I mean, that's kind of interesting that you have these instruments, you don't know how to use them. Then finally, they say, any exercise equipment like treadmills, elliptical machines, they say even yoga mats might sit unused due to the lack of knowledge on how to incorporate them into your fitness program. It's a mat. Put it on the floor.
You know what, though? I have one of those little walking pads, and I was going to sell it on Facebook Marketplace, and I was like, it's too much work. Even to sell it is exhausting.
It's too much exercise.
Yes.
I don't think it's a lack of knowledge of using the treadmill and yoga mats. I just think that's the excuse people use not to exercise.
Right. Oh, okay. So it's like,
They feel bad going, I bought this for nothing. So they were like, I just can't fit it into my routine.
Yeah, okay. Like,
this treadmill's too hard to operate.
I guess I won't exercise today.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
We've been in a very argumentative mood this morning.
Oh, shut up.
We've been arguing even when the songs were playing.
No, we
and
haven't.
What we were arguing about was ridiculous. We've been arguing about what the best thing to land on if you fall from an airplane without a parachute is.
Where did that come from?
Tori brought it up.
I mean, it's like she said, squirrel.
It wasn't squirrel. It was a very good advertisement. Because it said, if you fall out of an airplane, what's the way to basically survive it? And it was like, everyone thinks water, but the reality is, if you're 30,000 feet up, you're falling at roughly 200 miles an hour, you hit water, it's going to feel like concrete. So the best thing is to fall into our tamale company and come get yourself some tamales.
See, that's so stupid.
So funny.
I thought it was brilliant, though, because I'm suckered in. I was listening to her.
Me too.
I'm like, oh, and then all of a sudden you got that advertisement right in my face.
And now I want tamales.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked.
Well, I proposed what I've always heard is the best thing to land on. And so they challenged me on it, and I looked up, I did some research. Turns out the number one best thing to land on, none of us thought of. That makes sense, but I understand why we didn't think of it.
Feathers.
A trampoline.
Snow.
Oh.
Deep snow.
Not around here.
No, that's why we didn't think of it.
Well, only because ours ice is up and has that big sheet of ice on top of the
snow.
Well,
ours is a couple of inches, too.
Yeah,
they're talking
true.
About up north where, you know, 6 feet of snow that could help dampen your fall.
So.
Number two on the list, though, was marshland or swampland. And I had said I had read that somewhere because the ground is softer and it absorbs a lot of the impact. The muddy ground will absorb that.
Now how muddy has got to be?
Well, it says marshland.
Like a swamp.
Yeah, my luck, though, I land in the Everglades, I survive, and then a big alligator
right.
me up.
Yeah.
Now, that's when, whenever we mentioned water. Water is one of the worst places on the list. And they say because of the surface tension, when you hit it at a high speed, it is like hitting concrete. And since you're likely going to pass out if you survive, now you've passed out in water.
Well,
and that's not good either.
Now, if you throw something in the water before you land, would that break the surface tension enough?
Not enough.
Okay.
All right. Like you're
Take
trying to throw a rock down there before you hit it, and the rock's floating at the same speed you are.
You're like, get down there!
Kato, you broke your tailbone, didn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I passed out, and it was like 30-something feet up the cliffs in Jamaica, and I really think I passed out. And when I hit that water, I was hurting. I woke up, though.
Oh, it's, yeah, real
it's
fast.
Like, yeah, it's like when I hit the waters when I realized where I was, and, yeah, my tailbone was broke.
You see those Acapulco divers, not drivers, but they, you know, how they do it, because that's way up there.
They were jumping, the Jamaicans were jumping even higher than we were jumping, and I'm like, I did it one time.
Water's bad. Now, Hawk, you brought up something.
What?
It's actually the third thing on the list, and that is trees. But it needs to be with dense branches that can help break the fall and slow you down. Although it says the branches can cause injuries. You get one of those goes up the wrong spot, that's going to be painful.
Ouch.
Or think if you hit it on your back and it, like, reverse scorpions you.
You see it in the movies, though. And they start hitting the branch after branch, and it slows them down. Then they land on their feet on the ground.
Okay, you know? That's not real.
So I thought you were going to say the one that I really says, like, if I'm falling out of the airplane, I unbutton my shirt, and I start flapping, you know, like a bird, because it starts to glide like a flying squirrel.
Hopefully. Well, this is odd. After trees, they say large flat surfaces like rooftops or buses can help absorb impact. I'm guessing you're going to go through the roof, but it's going to slow you down as you hit. That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking at this point you're doing the die.
Go through a roof and hit everything in the attic that got
know.
Stored
well,
up there.
Well, they've got insulation.
Hit the Christmas tree.
Next was freshly plowed fields. Again, I think you're in trouble at this point. Then water. And they did mention the trees could be bad as well as good. Now, body position is also crucial. Spread eagle, like a skydiver, maximizes your air resistance and slows down how fast you're going when you hit.
So, Hawk, that might would work.
Yeah, just flap. You got to have a button-up shirt, though. You can't do it with something else, you know.
Yeah, but imagine that air rips that shirt right off, and you're like, okay, one option down.
Well, then you go to the pants. You can take your pants off, and then you tie both. You know,
right, that's going to happen.
You tie both legs, doc-de-doo, like when you're in the water, and they say, you know, you're supposed to do that and blow your pants up. Yeah. You just do it in the air, and it will like slow. It'll be like a hot air balloon. You'll be just holding it.
It will rip out of your hand so fast.
Have you ever done the indoor skydiving and pigeon forge?
My family did it in Charlotte.
I've done it. I mean, you've got one of those suits, and you basically walk into this circle and jump out
big
in it.
Big fan comes on.
And then I was thinking, I'm hitting the side because it's hard. It's hard to stay
It's level. Hard to direct where you're going.
Yeah.
Which would be the real life case, too.
True.
Tori, you mentioned feet first. That actually supposed to help protect vital organs.
Yeah, like when your shin goes straight through all of them.
Right. You're going to hit your chin on your knee for sure. And Kato, I think you mentioned rolling when you hit the ground.
But tuck and roll. They always say, like, if you're, like, say you're downtown and you trip on the sidewalk or it's a late night, tuck and roll to avoid.
That's because you're already going that direction, though.
True. Or if you fall off a stepladder or something.
Now, here's where that gets important. Sure. They said, consider the terrain. If you can find a downward slope, that way you're converting your direction into a more downward roll and you have a better chance. Here's what really surprised me. On Quora, they said a fall from pretty much any airplane is survivable if you assume the correct position and practice what's called a parachute landing fall. I don't know if I believe that or not.
How do you practice that?
Well, I guess you practice it without jumping from the plane.
You're like, okay, Delta, open the chute. I'm going.
So
I got to practice.
You land on your feet and roll? Is that what it is? Is it?
Well, we just described everything you're supposed to try to do.
Oh.
It's tuck and roll.
Okay.
Did you forget already? Because I did too.
You know what's so funny, though? It's like we argued. Like for a long time, about it's kind of like the lottery, like, you know, about winning the lottery and we're going to say, hey, we're going to split this and we start arguing. We're arguing over something that's never going to really happen.
I mean, I'm not going to open the door in a plane.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to jump.
After this conversation, I'll never fly again. So it's not going to happen.
True. It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, tips like these are great. It's something that you do every day. You've probably already done it, and you've been doing it wrong your whole life. I got a microwave hack for you. Now, I don't know how to use all the buttons on my microwave. I told you. I got the popcorn button down. That's about it.
Well, based on my experience, the popcorn button is a little off.
Yeah, it is. I know.
It depends on the microwave.
Yeah, because they always burn it here in the building.
Right.
Because they get that popcorn button and
it
burns.
Nothing worse than that smell of burnt popcorn from the microwave. Well. You can't get rid of it. You don't even throw it in your garbage. You take it out to your garbage outside. Yeah. So do you ever heat something up in a microwave, like a big plate of spaghetti, but the middle is still cold? And then you got to mix it up again, and then you put it back in for 30 seconds more, and then you mix it up again. Yeah. That's just wasting your time.
Yeah, you're supposed to push everything to the side of the plate and leave the middle open.
Okay.
I never had either of these problems.
Is that right? Yeah.
Thank you, Kato.
Yeah. Is that right? Because I've always done that.
So, because you know what? There's nothing worse than you getting uneven cooked food, and then you pop it in your mouth, and you burn your tongue.
You're
then
right.
Your eating experience for the rest of the day is ruined until that burn is fixed.
And the next bite is like an icicle.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yes. So, here's the hack for you, okay? I don't know if you know this or not.
I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. It happens because the microwaves can't really penetrate that far deep into the pile of food like pasta or leftover Chinese. That's why the edges are hot and the middle isn't. So instead of piling them up in a big mound, you may have heard this before.
I think it's hearsay.
Try arranging it in the shape of a donut.
No way.
Yeah.
So you push it to the outside and you leave the center empty?
In the shape of a donut.
No way.
Like a circle of pasta and leave a hole in the middle is what you do.
This is brand new information.
Yeah, you should heat them. It'll heat more evenly that way, they say. And you'll only have to zap it once, so you're not wasting your time putting it back in the microwave, stirring it up, and then putting it back, and then taking a little taste, burning your tongue.
Now, they have a reheat button, but I've never actually used it.
I haven't either.
Does it reheat properly?
It does what it does. I think that's the one that does the defrost. It turns on and off a little bit so that it gives it time to...
Which I like the defrost button, because I'll heat regular things up that aren't frozen just because it heats it up a little slowly.
Right, and it doesn't sit there and just burn part of it. It kind of lets it simmer down.
Right.
Simmer. Yeah. I just hate, you don't want that hotter than lava section of your food. You put it in there and burns your mouth. They say apparently it helps with other foods too. Like if you're reheating a bunch of, let's say, drumsticks, arrange them in a circle. So the meaty part is near the edge of the plate and the bone is facing in towards the middle.
I've never heated a bone in chicken. I always pull it off the bone before I put it in the microwave.
Well, Tom, he actually educated me, and I went ahead and I bought the air fryer now, and it's way more amazing than the microwave. I'm like, that is some magic right there.
It is.
It's crispy. It's good.
I think it's funny you say that, though, because the microwave is still magic.
It is.
You go back even, 60, 70, however many years before it was introduced, and you say, listen, you can take something that's frozen and have it ready in 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
That's magic.
You could bake it.
Yeah, but now they're saying it causes cancer.
No, they're not.
A
microwave?
What doesn't?
Yeah.
Air fryer for this month. Give it time.
Air fryer probably is more likely to with that nonstick coating inside.
Well, and with the microwave, too, you're sitting there and watching it like a TV show. You're just watching it turn around and around. And your mom was like, don't get too close to that microwave.
There's a video going around. It's like what your food sees while it's in the microwave. And it turns around and it goes past the window and you see the guy's face. I'll have to find that.
That's funny.
With a little dots as a screen that you're looking through.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
This is a time in your life that's very emotional, very difficult to get through, and we all have to deal with it at some point or another. But the death of a loved one, especially if you have anything to do with taking care of arrangements, can really put a stress on you. Having to arrange for the funeral, maybe you have to pick out a casket, a tombstone, what's it going to say? Those things are all very tough at a time when you're very emotional. And I haven't dealt with any close relatives yet, although I think it won't be that long before I start losing some of my older family members. But we did have a pet once that passed, and we had to pick out the tombstone and all that, and that was very heartbreaking. I can only imagine what it's like when it's someone that you care deeply about. And one of the tough things that we don't think about that families deal with is writing an obituary for someone.
Oh, it's going to be hard.
Because you want to try to bring out the best in the person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And make it sound good and try not to dwell on the negatives.
And then you got someone that reads is like, oh, they're lying about that.
Or how nice they were. Yeah, you're like, no.
I know. I worked with him.
Yeah.
I've been to funerals. I was at a funeral once with some coworkers, and one of the coworkers leaned over and said, that's not the person I remember.
Jeez.
But now people are starting to use a new tool to help with the obituaries. And if you guess ChatGPT, you guessed right.
Well, hold on, let me guess.
Okay. Encyclopedia.
That ain't what I guessed.
People are using ChatGPT to write their family's obituaries.
Why not?
One person in Nevada used ChatGPT to write their mother's obituary, and they said she would have been very happy with the end result. This person plans to use it for obituary on their father when he passes away. And they say the big problem with using ChatGPT is sometimes it makes stuff up.
Oh, well, yeah.
So it tells things about your family member that didn't actually happen. So you got to go through and make sure you weed those out unless you want them there.
Yeah, but because who's going to do that? Like last second, like, here you go. I've not had time to proofread it.
They get all the way through and they're like, this message brought to you by ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Well, more concerning is in the middle of it when they're like, and Claude invented the wheel. And he also discovered flight. And you're thinking, that's not real.
Does it seem so impersonal? I mean, that's a time when you reflect on your loved one and to write something heartfelt. I feel like that people
are taking obituaries aren't that heartfelt, though, compared to like what you say at the funeral.
It's impersonal if the person, like if it's Alexa doing it or Siri.
Okay, they don't actually do that.
It's like the ChatGPT voice doing it for you.
Then why don't you just make bullet points? He died. Funeral here.
Well, that seems impersonal too, Kato.
Well, yeah, if you're going to go impersonal, just make it impersonal and keep your speech for the funeral.
ChatGPT at least makes it seem like you tried.
Yeah, but if it's like she was a bright, shining light, and you're like, whoops, scratch that one out.
Well, and that's what, let me just read part of one. It said, this guy had been born on a chilly day, and he lived by the words of the great Groucho Marx and inspired everyone and died in a sunny embrace. None of those things were actually true, yeah, but it added those to it.
I don't even like that in there, though.
Well, you don't like it. Some people did.
Okay.
It sounded nice. I actually wanted to meet that person.
Who's Groucho Marx?
I was going to say.
One of the Three Stooges, right?
No.
Oh, the Marx Brothers. That's right.
What?
Like the Groucho was a Three Stooge, wasn't he?
No.
Turn of the century, there was like your grandparents or great-grandparents watched like these four brothers. It's kind of a ripoff of the Three Stooges, but they came first before the Three Stooges.
See, and I told you.
Groucho's got the big cigar.
Big eyebrows.
Big eyebrows. You might have seen a meme.
Harpo, Groucho, and something. Lenny.
Zippo.
So basically, it shouldn't have used the Groucho Marx people in this.
But you know what? How about you got to deliver a speech at a wedding or something?
Oh, I think this would be even good for a funeral if maybe it wasn't your father, but if it was someone you had to give a speech about, you could get ChatGPT to help.
Heck, use it for your wedding vows.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine what ChatGPT might come up with.
I just feel like we're taking the easy way out, and nothing is going to be, you know, heartfelt and emotional.
Kato, you've been cheating your way and taking the easy way out on everything you've done in your life. All of us have.
Why don't you tell me what I've done?
Well,
but since you know so much about me.
You know what? He's got to put it in ChatGPT and give you an answer.
Thank you, Hawk. It's getting ready right now.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.